Right now, let's talk about the issue of drugs in the workplace. I mean, dealing with drugs and alcohol in the workplace can be so, so challenging. And to talk about this, we joined by Mr. Rhys Evans, who is director at AlcoSafe, and he's going to explain why it's important for businesses to have a policy around drug and alcohol use and abuse in the workplace. Mr. Evans, good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure. Perhaps let's start off by you telling us how big this problem is.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. I mean, if you read the newspapers, you'll see every day stories about alcohol and drug abuse. And, you know, people don't realize that obviously these problems are happening to people that are living amongst us. So, you know, the problems which they describe in the papers are not strangers standing on the street corners. They are people working amongst us. And they're normal people, you know, they're me and you, they're brothers and sisters, they're mothers and fathers. So they're normal, everyday South Africans. And unfortunately, we have stress and people turn to substances to try and cope with that stress. Mm.
But are we talking about people who abuse alcohol and drugs and happen to work? Or are we talking about people who actually do this in the workplace?
Yeah, you see, what happens when we start testing with companies, that often they come to us and say that they've got a very small problem. You know, there's one or two guys that they know are abusing alcohol and drugs, so they want to try and stop this problem. And when they actually start testing, they're faced with a much bigger situation where they have people that they never expected to find test positive, actually testing positive. So drug and alcohol abuse is not a really easy thing to spot. If it was, you know, you would pick up these people all the time. Unfortunately, they don't want to be caught, you know, so it's very difficult to know how big the problem is in your particular workplace. But if we look at the places that we work with, I mean, we see reduction of accidents, up to 60% reduction of accidents within 6 months just by doing alcohol and drug testing. So, yeah, there's a very, very high amount of people that are abusing alcohol and drugs, and they're very good at hiding it. So,
So I guess it's difficult. Yeah, it's difficult, like you say, to say how big a problem this is. But would you know which are the high substance abuse industries? I read somewhere that the hospitality industry is quite big, where you find a lot of abuse of drugs and alcohol. You know, places like restaurants, places like hotels and entertainment spots, that they're the leaders when it comes to this. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, sure. Look, when it comes to drugs and alcohol abuse in industries where they've got long working hours, it is quite prevalent because they use them to stay awake, use them to build confidence. They're interacting with clients on a almost, you know, minute basis. So we do see high levels in those industries. Call centers is another good example where there's a huge amount of stress, very long working hours, employees facing constant rejection by the people that they're calling all day, you know, and that can really break a person down. So, yeah, they turn to something to try and cope with that. And often that, unfortunately, that coping mechanism is some form of substance abuse.
Mm. And I believe other industries that display a tendency towards substance abuse are you know, creative industries, industries like the one I'm in, for instance, the financial sector as well, banks and so on. So, you know, it's a little scary just knowing that people are walking around in their offices and they may be zonked out.
Yeah, it's everywhere. As I said, it doesn't choose any particular group of people. It's in the mining sector, it's in construction, it's in finance. It doesn't choose. So, yeah, you'll find it in every single sector. And unfortunately, unless a company is doing something to try and discourage that alcohol and drug abuse, there's nothing to stop it. Now, I use the example of speeding. You can set a speed limit of 120, but unless you enforce that, if there's never one speed trap, no one will stick to that limit. And the same with the company. If we say, you know, just come out and say alcohol and drug abuse should not be done at a company, but no one ever does any testing, what's the employee worried about? You know, he's never going to say, well, I'm going to be tested, so why should I not do this? So we have to provide education and testing to try and discourage this.
And what kind of drugs, Mr. Evans, are we talking about here? Will it be hardcore drugs or will it be recreational drugs? I mean, I'm looking at the financial sector to know that, you know, your money is being dealt with by somebody who's probably stoned or high, high in a recreational way, or because this is what they've come to depend on.
Yeah, well, we find different drugs abused in different sectors. So in the financial sector, where there's a little bit of a higher paid, you know, high income employee, you'll find drugs like cocaine, cat, where they're using that to build confidence, keep them concentrated, keep them awake. In the mining sector, construction sector, where it's a little bit less formal, there we find marijuana, drug abuse is a lot higher. So, yeah, it depends from sector to sector, really. But you can't rule out being someone being higher on DACA in any sector because it's such a commonly abused drug in South Africa.
And how should employers then deal with this? If there's no policy that says you need to be tested, if there's no breathalyzer that is part of the policy, so how else do you deal with it as an employer?
Yeah, they need to start off by getting a policy in place, and it's not something which is very difficult. So coming to a reputable distributor like our company, Alcosef, we will help you put that policy in place. We've been doing this for a very long time. The company's 40 years old. So we'll help you put a policy in place, interact with employee representatives, union representatives, to make sure that they understand why the policy is there. It's there to help employees to make sure we've got a safe working environment. And once you've got that policy in place and accepted, then you can look at procedures for doing random or post-accident testing, any form of testing that you think is beneficial that will help to discourage drug and alcohol abuse in the workplace. So even though you don't have a policy, you need to start with that. It's the base of your testing.
And what drives people to use drugs in the workplace, to use alcohol? Is it for the fun of it, or does it come with the pressures of the sectors that they are in, or perhaps it's the toxic nature of the workplace?
Yeah, I would say that in most cases it's driven by stress. The pressures, making deadlines, staying awake late at night, as I mentioned with the call centers, facing constant rejection. You know, I know people when they get a phone call from a call center, they don't even greet that person. You know, the phone is just slammed down in that person's ear. And that could happen to them 100 times in a day. So you can imagine that person is not feeling too well about themselves. So they're driven by stress in most cases. It might be stress at home, you know, family stress, stress in the workplace as well. So it's driven by a number of things, but I think stress is the biggest driver of that abuse. Mm.
And I think there is a link. I mean, there's a strong link, I believe, between substance abuse and the high stress levels that pervade the various industries where we find this. I mean, there was recently celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay ran a two-part documentary, and he was also exposing the use of cocaine, talking about the types of drugs that get used, the use of cocaine. And also other drugs as well in various restaurants. So it is really a big problem. And you can also comment if you'd like to. Call us on 0891-104-207 and send your SMSs to 40938. We would like to hear from you. And so you were talking about the fact that companies need to have a policy that regulates that this, what should be contained in that in that policy?
The most important part of the policy is to state the Occupational Health and Safety Act and your reasons for testing. So the OSH Act states that an employer may not allow an employee to enter and remain at a workplace that's under the influence of alcohol or drugs. Right? And then further, they need to explain that this is done for safety. You know, it's not done to penalize employers. If you have 100 tests in a month and every single person tests negative, then you've got a great policy and a great procedure because, you know, your employees are not abusing drugs and alcohol. But unfortunately, there will be some time where you'll catch someone. So the policy needs to contain the reasons why you're doing the testing, both legal and for safety reasons. It should also stipulate the form of testing that you'll do. So, you know, some companies do compulsory testing. If you look at some of the big railways, Transnet and these guys, Eskom, they test almost every single employee every single day that enters because they've got such a big workforce and such a high-risk environment. So we'll state maybe we'll do compulsory testing, possibly random testing where you'll pick certain days to do testing, post-accident testing. So if you have a big incident in the workplace, it might not even be an accident where someone's physically hurt. Maybe you've got someone that's sent an incorrect contract and he signed the contract and it's cost your company money, or he's had a huge argument with a client over the phone and now you've lost that client. Alcohol and drug abuse leads to mood swings as well, and you can find that people become quite volatile. So after incidents like that, they conduct a drug test or an alcohol test to see if alcohol or drugs had an influence on that person's behavior. So they'll stipulate that in the testing as well, in the policy as well. And then further from that, they should stipulate what type of disciplinary action will be taken. So preferably that the person would be advised to go for counseling, and where that counseling would happen, and they'd be sent for an EAP, which is an employee assistance program. Maybe they'd be given some form of sick leave to try and get assistance if they do have an alcohol problem, if they're an alcoholic, can be given time to try and improve that situation. So those little things should be stipulated in the policy. And then, of course, unfortunately, if you have a repeat offender that's now been caught multiple times, what will the eventually it would probably lead to a dismissal.
To dismissal, I can imagine. Earlier on, you made the example of somebody having the phone dropped in their ears several times, dealing with rude customers, dealing with dissatisfied customers who complain all the time. Do you find that most industries where you find drug and alcohol use and abuse, are industries where workers have to deal with customers in the main?
It is very prevalent in those types of industries. Drugs like cocaine and crack and methamphetamine type drugs are very, at the beginning when people start using them, they're very helpful in actually boosting that person's confidence. But unfortunately, it's a short-lived thing, and by the time they realize how much damage it's doing, they become dependent on that substance. So, those industries, it's very prevalent. But also in the high, the hard working conditions. So we find a lot of alcohol abuse and sort of more recreational drugs like marijuana abuse in mining industry and construction industry, where it's hard, heavy labor in the sun, in the heat all day. So it is in those industries as well.
I wonder if you go beyond work environment, industry environment, and perhaps look at homes, because if taking your work stress home is a big no-no. Now you have stress, plus you are hooked onto a substance that perhaps you use as a coping mechanism, and you also take it home. So it's a double whammy for the poor wife or poor husband at home, or even your children or your auntie or whoever that you live with. Have you gone beyond that and look at the impact of this then at home?
Yeah, that's the saddest part of it. The impact is really huge. So in South Africa, we have about 76% of domestic abuse cases that are reported. The person is found to be either under the influence of alcohol and drugs. So that is huge numbers. If you think about what this costing the family, firstly, you got to explain where the money is going to, which causes stress. Money arguments are very common in a household. So you're reducing the money that you should be spending on education, on food, on clothing for your children and your family, and that's going to drugs. And especially if a person becomes an addict, that drug habit, it's a habit, so it's something that they do every day, and that money gets allocated to that habit. So you're talking thousands of rands a month. Cocaine and these expensive drugs, they're costing people hundreds to thousands of rands a day. So where does that money come from? And it's being taken away from that family.
Right.
Alcohol abuse, it's also rife. It leads to arguments. It leads to physical abuse. It's just terrible in a home. And so you're depriving that family of the right to education. And so it's a very big problem in a household.
We'll conclude this discussion after this.